Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Friday, March 14th, and I'm Charles Pelkey with these news stories from around Wyoming. Governor Mark Gordon signed 8 bills into law yesterday. They include one that creates a legislative committee and funds a study to look at the state's K-12 school funding model. Another bans transgender students from playing college sports, and a requirement for adult content sites to verify ages. Gordon still has until midnight on March 21st to take action on bills. A lawsuit that aims to overturn 2 new abortion restrictions was delayed by the state of Wyoming yesterday. That's according to a press release from Wellspring Health Access, a plaintiff in the case and the only clinic in the state that had provided procedural abortions before the 2 laws went into effect last week. Wellspring says the state filed a motion to move the civil suit back to Natrona County District Court. Earlier this week, attorneys for Wellspring had moved the case to Teton County, citing the Natrona County Court's delay in making an initial judgment. Wellspring says it had to turn away 99 potential patients since closing its door to comply with the law. Teton County District Judge Melissa Owens will decide whether to relocate the lawsuit once again. She is the judge who struck down Wyoming's 2 near total abortion bans last year. Wyoming Game and Fish is looking for applications for a new advisory board about commercially guided fishing boats. As Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman reports, the board is the result of a law that was passed this session.
Efforts to start to regulate commercial fishing in the state finally floated through the legislative process this year, after sinking several times in the past decade. Game and Fish now has the authority to regulate commercially guided boats in the state, but the rules haven't been set in stone. An advisory board will help develop recommendations on what those rules will actually look like moving forward. Commercial fishing guides currently don't have to pay permitting fees or register to operate in most parts of the state. The board has 7 spots. At least 2 seats need to be filled by owners of guided fishing businesses in the state. The group will get together 3 to 5 times from May to August, then will meet up with Game and Fish in the fall. The online application is open through March 21st. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
Water leaders from Arizona, California, and Nevada send a letter to new Interior Secretary Doug Burgum asking for a fresh look at the future of Colorado River management. Alex Hager reports for the Mountain West News Bureau that this comes amid tense negotiations about how much water each state will get from a shrinking river.
Lower basin states say the previous administration didn't do enough to seriously consider their water management proposals. They also want the feds to upgrade the dam at Lake Powell, which stores their water supplies. Eric Balkin is with the nonprofit Glen Canyon Institute.
I think what this letter is showing is something that environmentalists have been saying for a long time, which is that we can't fix the Colorado River until we fix Glen Canyon Dam.
Other policy analysts say the federal government should threaten to impose its own rules for sharing water if the 7 states can't come up with an agreement. Federal action, they say, would force the states to compromise. I'm Alex Hager.
The scenes of destruction from the Los Angeles fires grip the nation. Now some researchers are working to better understand the toxic exposures firefighters faced. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse has details on a major study that's currently underway.
In recent years, knowledge about the dangerous exposures faced by wildland firefighters has been growing, with one late 2024 paper identifying 31 known carcinogens on the fire line. But less is known about acute exposures to incidents like the LA fires, where entire neighborhoods and all the toxic contents of homes and cars were sent billowing into the sky or left in the ash.
We really owe it to the firefighters to be able to tell them what they've been exposed to, and what the effects of those exposures might be.
That's Jeff Burgess, a public health professor at the University of Arizona who's been working with firefighters for years. He's part of the team conducting a study of LA fire responders, which already has a couple hundred enrolled. They're hoping for as many as 1,000. He's worried that LA responders will face heightened risk for cancer and other diseases, and notes that many wildland firefighters face similar exposures. Results will be shared quickly with participants to help them take actions to protect themselves. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
A new scientific analysis shows spring is getting warmer across the U.S. because of climate change, and some of the fastest warming cities are in our region, threatening to shrink water supplies and increase wildfire risk. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel has more.
Since 1970, the average spring temperatures in Reno have risen by nearly 7 degrees, the most in the nation. Not far behind is Las Vegas, which has warmed 6 degrees during that span. Boise, Colorado Springs, Albuquerque, and Salt Lake City have each warmed more than 3 degrees, and Cheyenne, Wyoming has warmed 2 degrees. Those numbers might not sound like big increases, but Caitlin Trudeau with Climate Central, a policy-neutral nonprofit, says the trend is shriveling snowpacks that supply water to farms and communities.
The huge impact on our drinking water just availability, right?
And
it has a huge impact for people that depend on water for agriculture. It means, you know, we can lose more water earlier in the year. It means that we might not have enough water at the end of the summer.
She says that can lead to severe drought conditions across the West, raising the risk of wildfires to grow longer and stronger. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Rape.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel with some lighter stories from around Wyoming.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. An Alta skier has the longest U.S. Moguls World Cup winning streak since 2012. Buckrail reports Jalen Koff earned gold during the Moguls event in China recently. She's finished first or second in 9 consecutive World Cups since December. A Douglas resident has been recognized with a national award. The Douglas Budget reports Kim Fagan-Hansel helps tell the stories of parents and foster children for the nonprofit Fostering Media Connections and has edited 2 books on child welfare. She won the Casey Excellence for Children Resource Parent Award. It recognizes people whose leadership and dedication build hope and make a difference in the lives of those engaged in the child welfare system. A Lovell hospital has been named to Chartis' top 100 list for critical access hospitals for the 2nd year in a row. The Lovell Chronicle reports Chartis is a national healthcare advisory firm that helps critical access hospitals improve their systems. North Bighorn Hospital's index rating is up slightly more than a point from last year. And according to software development company Vention, Wyoming is the 14th best state to find a software development job in. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's Wyoming trivia question. What famous painter was born in Cody in 1912? Send us your answers for this week's trivia questions to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com. We'll name winners on Monday. That's it for today, and thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Join me again on Monday. Remember to subscribe to get Wyoming Debrief automatically downloaded to your phone and start your day on an informed foot. While you're there, please consider leaving us a review so that other people can find us.